Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
You know, if you're like me and you look at a lot of news and stuff during the week, you're probably sick already about hearing the phrase, taking a knee. If you don't know, if you've been living under a rock this week, there were a lot of protests. These guys would take a knee during the national anthem or protest. And I began thinking about it. And I don't have a long diatribe on it. I think it's kind of disrespectful myself because, you know, the national anthem stands for everybody, you know, the whole country. But it used to be that when taking a knee, it meant that it didn't mean to a means of protest. It wasn't a means of drawing attention to yourself. It wasn't making a statement. When you take a knee, it was that you were humbling yourself before an almighty God. See, when we get on our knees, it's an act of humility, right? And in some instances, people fully got on their faces. But to get on our knees, it's an act of humility, saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. It's asking for divine intervention from God to come down from heaven and to intercede in our lives and do something, because we don't have the money, we don't have the resources to do what needs to be done, right? We like to think that we're in control, but we know so often that we're not in control. And so we reach out to God and we humble ourselves before him. And really that was the situation of the early church. We're looking in Acts chapter 12 here. And we're going to see that King Herod Agrippa, decided to earn some points with the Jewish people and start persecuting. In fact, he was going to start executing the leaders of the church. And he started with James. James gets killed by the sword. That is, he was beheaded. And then Peter gets arrested. And so the church, they don't have Christian lawyers. They don't have influence outside of the Roman government. They don't have pull with anybody. You know what I'm saying? They're alone. All they have, and all they really need, is God. And so they look to him, and they start, it says they were praying fervently, and that means with an intensity. Because James, remember Peter, James, and John? He's one of the top three disciples, and he got killed. And they're thinking, oh my gosh, what is going on? And so they begin to pray, and we're not going to read the full 16 verses, but let's take a look at what happens here. It says, about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, this isn't James the half-brother of Jesus that wrote the book of James, just so you're aware. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the day of unleavened bread, and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison. But earnest prayer, notice that in verse 5, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly, and the chains fell off his hands. How do you like that? The angel comes next to you. Really? Really? Wake up! So he did. Let's skip down to verse 13. Peter goes, so he's free, he's outside. Peter goes to Mary's house, right? This is probably one of the most humorous verses. I think it's funny in the Bible. It says, and when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer, recognizing Peter's voice. In her joy, she did not open the gate. In her joy. But ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, I think Rhoda was blonde. I can say that because I'm blonde. I really am. Sorry for all the other blondes. I'm just messing around there. They said to her, you are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. I just love that. You know, Peter's just out there. It's like knocking, knocking, knocking. Hello, anybody? One of the first things that we see in the passage is that James is killed, but Peter's rescued. You ever notice that? And this is the first time that Peter got rescued. He's been rescued before divinely when he was in prison. James is killed, though. And it kind of makes you wonder, when you look at that, and you ask, Lord, why is it that some of your servants are martyred, and some get to live on a long life and a long, fruitful life and do all kinds of ministry? Have you ever wondered that? Or maybe you've thought to yourself, if you've had somebody that you've lost, and you thought, man, God, why did you take them when they were so young? You know, why did you take my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, who, or somebody who you loved, who respected, who was in the ministry, and you thought, man, they had so much potential? Or you look at that and go, I don't understand, Lord. But then sometimes it seems that good people go home to be with the Lord early, and then the wicked people seem to live forever, right? Hugh Hefner just died, didn't he? It's like 90-something. Really? But you look at that, and we tend to measure life. We tend to measure the length of life. But let me tell you, it's not a contest of how long you can live. You don't get any award in heaven for passing a certain age. You just don't. I'm sorry. Some of you guys, well, I wanted to live to 100. There's no, oh, you made it to 70, you made it to 80, so we're going to give you this. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates that we're going to be rewarded because of how long we lasted here on earth. It doesn't matter how long we live. It's how we live the life that God has given us. It's not the start date and the end date, but it's that hyphen, that in-between time. What are we given? And we want to use this life for the glory of God. Amen? And so we look, sometimes I look at the Bible and I go, Lord, I don't understand, but I do know this. I know God is sovereign. Yes? Sovereign means that he is large and in charge, that he is in total control of all events of history. Use the word history. It's his story. God is in control. So when I say God is sovereign, that means he is fully in charge. We don't know why he allows some people to go home early, why into heaven, why he allows some people to stay on earth. We don't understand all the intricacies of his divine plan, but we know this, that he knows what's best. Amen? And so we need to trust in who? And sometimes we got to not, we can ask why all we want, but don't ask why. Just ask who. Who's in charge? Is it me or is it God? Well, God's obviously in charge. Now, we're talking about prayer. One of the things to know, though, first is that God is in control. Amen? Don't you think that's a good thing to know? When you're stressed, what's the first thing? You got to know God's in charge. Because if nobody's in charge, who's running this place, right? You go into some place and it's like a loony bin. It's all crazy people running around you. That's the first question. Who's in charge here? Well, you know what? God is in charge, although sometimes it looks like a crazy world, but God really is in charge. The devil's trying to wreak havoc, but that's another story. And God brings peace. Notice, I like Peter. You got to look at the story. See, Peter's, he is about to die the next day. Imminent. And so, he's chained between two Roman soldiers in a prison. He's about to die. And what is he doing? He's sleeping. And he is sleeping so deep and so sound and so good that an angel has to whack him on the side. Come on, get up. Let's go. Right? This is like, got to be the most stressful situation you can ever imagine yourself being in. Many of us find ourselves in much less stressful situations, right? And what are we doing? Awake at night, right? Panic, anxiety. What am I going to do? How am I going to pay this bill? What's going to happen next month? They're doing layoffs. Oh my gosh. And so all kinds of thoughts can go through your mind. And we can have all kinds of anxiety. But God brings a peace beyond our understanding. It's a peace that the world doesn't know. Yes? And God brought that peace into Peter. He brought him so much peace, he's like, yep, I'm going to take a nap. What? I'm going to rest in the Lord. God's got this. God is sovereign. God is in charge. And so how do we deal? The main way that we deal with the stress in our life, especially as believers, is prayer. Often prayer seems to be the last thing on people's minds, right? For the most part, well, we might as well pray. You ever say that? I know you have because you're smiling. Oh, we've done this, we've done that, and oh my gosh, and oh my gosh, and oh my gosh. Like, well, we might as well pray. Well, isn't that supposed to be the first thing we're taught to do, right, as Christians? I've even done that myself. Well, all we can do is pray. That's a lot. You can accomplish a lot through prayer, right? James 5:16 says what? The prayer of a righteous man does much while it's working, right? It accomplishes much. There's power in prayer that is beyond our concept, beyond our perception, beyond our understanding. We don't even get it. We don't even know how that whole thing works. But we know that God has given us prayer as a tool to intervene in affairs which we normally cannot control. Amen? I mean, you can try to tell somebody about Jesus. You can try to tell somebody at work, or your brother or sister about Jesus, all you want, and until you're blue in the face and they're just so hard-headed that they won't listen to you. But you can go home and get on your knees and you can pray and say, God, would you just soften their heart? And that's like a little smart bomb. It goes right over everybody's head, right into their room. Bam! And God can work on their heart, yes? You have no idea how God can arrange a situation. There are no coincidences. And so prayer is very powerful in bringing us peace. Philippians 4:6 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right? There's another scripture that says what? Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And so whatever you're going through this morning that's stressing you, know that you can bring it before God. Know that he's a God that brings peace. He is a God that also delivers us. It's interesting. I like this scripture. It was Peter goes to the house, you know, and if you read the whole passage, it's interesting because he gets out of jail. He's kind of still groggy, still kind of sleepy, right? So the angel's saying, come on, get up. And he's getting up. He's just kind of stumbling. I picture Peter just kind of going, okay. He's walking past one guard. Yep. He can't even see me, can he? Okay. He's walking past another guard. Oh. Okay, this is weird. Is this a dream? And then he gets outside, and he's walking down the street, and he kind of wakes up, and he thinks, this is not a dream. I am not in prison. Whoa. And so he goes up to Mary's house, wherever the church is there, and then Rhoda is there, and he's knocking on the door. She comes up, and it says, in her joy. You ever, in your joy, like, you've ever been so happy you just forgot stuff? She's all excited. So she just, oh, that's so great. And then she just leaves Peter at the door. And Peter's going, really? I don't think they had watches back then, but, you know, if he had a watch, he'd just be looking at his watch, going, knocking on the door. Anybody? Peter's at the door. Nah. It's like, does anybody hear Peter knocking? Right? Hello. You know, Lord, we just pray that you would deliver Peter. Oh, yes. Oh, Peter's been delivered. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Okay. Lord, we just pray that you would really deliver Peter. No, he's standing outside right now. Yeah. No, you're kind of nuts. Screws loose. You go sit down and rest your head a minute, Rhoda. Okay. Lord, we just pray that you would deliver Peter. What is going on? They're struggling, right? Have you ever struggled? You know, you're praying for something, right? And you're praying. You've been praying so long. You've been praying so hard. Then when God actually comes through and answers that prayer, you're like, is this really happening? Right? I'm not going to give these guys a hard time and say they didn't have faith. Of course they had faith. They were just a little stuck. And I think you and I get a little stuck sometimes, don't we? We believe in the power of prayer. We hear pastors say it. We hear the other pastors say it on the radio. We're always reading in the Word, and we always hear about it. But no matter how long you've been a Christian, I don't care how long you've known the Lord, how spiritual you may think you are, it's always a surprise when God comes through. And that's a good thing. Amen? You know why it's a surprise? Because when he answers prayer, he just shakes everybody's reality around him. He has just bent reality itself to accomplish his purpose. And people are going, wait a minute. That doesn't happen, right? People get healed of cancer, of different things, and then the non-Christian or the non-believer stands around and goes, that's not right. That doesn't happen, right? My friend, he had a brain tumor the size of a fist, and it shrunk and it disappeared after we had prayed, laid hands and prayed for him. And people go, well, wait a minute. That doesn't happen. But yes, it does. And so God wants us, yes, there's a joy and there's a surprise. But sometimes we struggle, right? We've been praying so long, but don't give up. It's like Ross was saying earlier, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel and go, what am I doing? Why am I praying? Nothing's happening. It's because we're impatient. We have a short-term view of life. God has a long view. He wants us to have the heaven view, right? The eternal view. He wants us to see not just this life. When we start living our Christian life, we have begun a new life that now goes into eternity. Yes, this body passes away, but we continue to live. Not a different life, the same life, new body, new location. But see, who you are now will live forever. Forever is a long time, just in case you were wondering. And so we focus on the here and the now and the everyday. And it's hard not to, because that's our reality. But God wants us to have that peace in our heart, to have rest in him. But we've got to focus on eternity. We've got to believe he's got our best intentions at heart, right? Romans 8:28 says what? God works all things together for the good, or is it for the comfort? God works all things together for the big fluffy comfort of those who love him. God works all things together for the absolute convenience of those who love him. God works all things together for you. And you ever look at that verse? For the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. In other words, there's some medicine you might need to take that you're like, this is yucky. I don't want to deal with this right now. I don't want to deal with this situation. But God will bring you through it. It's for your good. A lot of trials, a lot of things we go through, it's for our good. So He's not necessarily going to take you around the stress, but he's going to give you peace through the stress. Now, James says what? Pray in faith. Faith is simply believing. It's not living according to our emotions. How many of you guys know that this culture we live in, especially in America, we're very feelings-oriented, right? If it doesn't feel true, it must not be true. No. But faith is going beyond our feelings. It's even when I don't feel God's going to answer, I'm still going to believe he's going to answer. With my mind, I'm going to worship God. With my time, I'm going to be in his word, and I'm going to trust in him. Even though sometimes I feel like, oh, wow, you know, Lord, I don't know, is this really going to happen? We go through those doubts because we're human. But that doesn't mean that you have less faith. It just means you're not feeling the faith. But faith is more than feelings. Faith is resting in the knowledge that God has everything in his hands. That makes sense? It's more than feelings. Now, here's Herod, right? Persecuting all these guys. And you might think, man, this guy is getting away with persecuting the church. There's so many people that are getting away with so much stuff in this world. Lord, we just want to serve you. We want to love you. We want to love other people. But it's hard when we feel persecuted, right? We're going through all these things. But check out what God does. This is another one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But as you look on, what does it say? It says, if you read further down the chapter, what happens to Herod? It says that Josephus, the historian, gives us some background to this, but this is what you'll read, that Herod went out and it said that he made this great speech, and they said, this is the words of a god. He's a god, not a man, right? And then what does it say? An angel struck him. He was eaten by worms and died. Now, just so you know, this is not some sci-fi weird horror movie kind of thing like, oh my gosh, worms came out of nowhere and he disappeared. That is not what happened. If you read the historian Josephus, it's interesting. When he went out that day to make that speech, he was wearing this all-silver garment, and he was all shining, and he came out in the glittering sun, and people looked at him, and they were enamored, and they were all caught up in the moment. And it says, and it even says that they wanted to worship him as a god, but it said that he was immediately struck ill. Like, in other words, he just doubled over. 5 days later, and it said that he writhed in anger because basically what happened, he's got worms inside him, like tapeworms or whatever. But there was a disease, and 5 days later, he died. So it wasn't like this instant thing. But I know when we read this written, it looks kind of weird, but that's what happened. And when I look at that and I go, well, we don't want to rejoice in when our enemies fall and things like that, but you need to be aware that even though it seems like God's enemies seem to be getting away with things, they're not. Nobody's getting away with anything. In the end, we win. Amen? So don't be worrying, don't be fussing, don't be thinking, man, Lord, we just can't seem to get a break. There's this persecution against the church. There's Christians being persecuted for their faith. Some are being killed in the Middle East. And we've got people being dragged before the courts, even over here in our own land, you know, because they don't abide by some new morality. And there's all these kind of things going on. Lord, it's so hard to be a Christian. But he's saying, look, it's not ours to take vengeance. He will ultimately deal with the wicked. He will ultimately deal justice to the unjust. Amen? And in all these things, knowing all these things, that he's sovereign, that he'll deal justice, let us have the peace of God in our hearts as we go before him and pray. Let us have his peace. And so that we are not stopped from working out the calling that he has placed upon our lives. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we come before you. We bless your name. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are in control. I thank you, Lord, that you are God who brings peace into our lives. And Lord, that we can trust in you. Help us to not be anxious about the events of the day. Help us, oh Lord God, not to worry about those matters in our own life, whether they be financial or whether they be relational, Lord. Health. We give them all to you. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, as we go from this place, Lord, that we would be able, Lord, just be like Peter, that no matter what's going on, we're just chill. We just have peace in you. We can rest in our hearts. And may people look upon that peace and that rest that we have and desire to know you as we know you. We lift these things up to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, God bless you guys. Have a great week.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomoa Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.